Book of Revelation, chapter 18. I am so thankful that when I got to verse number 3 of the book of Revelation, that it said, what did it say? Blessed are they that... I'm going to quote it wrong. Blessed is he that readeth. I had it right in my head to start with. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That word keep, by the way, normally means guard. And so the Lord tells us right off the bat, blessed are they that what? Read it. I'm so glad it doesn't say, blessed is he that understands it completely. Though I have taught this book a number of times, of course we're going through it this time, every time I go through it, every time I read it, I learn something else. And once in a while, I have to unlearn something that I thought I learned before. And I look at it now and I think, well, no, that really says this. Excuse me. What a tremendous book we have here. A lot of folks, they look at prophecy and they say, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's a big deal because God has so much of it in His book. And evidently, God wants us to understand it. It's a big deal because it's telling us about what's going to happen. And it's given us a plan for the ages. And it's saying, hey, Christian, be encouraged. Though it all looks dark, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Amen? Yeah, gas near $4 again. Paychecks don't go up. Obamacare about to go into action. Maybe thousands of layoffs result because of the financial woes it's going to bring to some of our companies. I mean, we look at some of the things and we think, oh my goodness, what is going to take place? We look at the Middle East and the volatile situation there. My goodness. Somebody sneezes in the Middle East and we have price raises. You know? And we have all of these things taking place. Hey, listen, God's still God. And no matter what, God's not broke. Aren't you glad? And He can supply our needs. He didn't promise our greeds, though God's been mighty good with that. But and we know that the Lord one of these days is going to get His just due, His reward, as all men will bend their knee and bow their head before Him and utter praise to His name. And all those folks that you've tried to witness to and they drag God's name through the dirt, they curse you and they give you trouble and they persecute you and all those things, one of these days. And in some ways that breaks our heart, doesn't it? But one of these days, God will be exalted in their hearts as well. Well, we're going to look here at this scene in the book of Revelation, chapter 18. Let's pray this morning first, and then I'd like to read. Just stay in your seats this morning, because I may stop along the way a couple times. And let's pray first. Father, we thank You for this great book. Lord, we thank You for the prophecies of it. Oh God, we thank You this morning that we can read it and be blessed, knowing that You get the ultimate victory. Oh God, we pray this morning You might bring encouragement to the discouraged. I pray, oh God, this morning that You might lift up those that are despondent, help them to see that all is well in glory. Lord Jesus, bless this morning from Your book. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before I begin reading this morning, another very important facet of prophecy is that it is one of the areas you can quickly discover false prophets. They mess it up royally. And when we understand some of the prophecies of the Word of God, we can many times have greater discernment of those who are false teachers. Just a little word of caution. Verse 1 says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory." Can you imagine that? "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I set a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city, that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." What a chapter we have here. I've entitled this chapter, the fall of political and economic Babylon. Last week we looked at chapter number 17, and in that chapter we saw the great whore that rides upon the beast. We found in that chapter that great whore was called, in verse number 5, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And my own personal belief, as I tried to relate to you, I believe that what we're going to find is that this city, Babylon, is going to come back again. This empire that was once there will basically be reformed and will have life in it once again. I believe, and I'm going to share with you a verse here this morning that really cements my belief even more with that. But we find that this religious Babylon is that which is the false religions of the world. It is that which is anti-God, anti-Christ. It is those which pull away the love of man from the real God to any other kind of God. If you've ever studied the religions of the world, you'll find that they are all very basically the same. And for the most part, we can just state it like this. They are works-based, whereby man is seeking to appease God by what he does, by his behavior. You realize this morning, you can't do that. You understand this morning, you cannot be saved by your works. It's impossible. Because in order to do that, you would have to be perfect. And there's nobody perfect in this room, is there? I was going to say, if you're perfect, please stand up, but I'd have to sit down. I'm kind of lazy at the moment. And we aren't perfect. There's no way we can appease God by our works. And yet that's basically what religions of the world do. Do you understand this morning too that many who call themselves Christians have bought into that idea? But what do we know from the Bible? For by grace are you saved. Aren't you glad of that? It's by His grace. When we believe Him, by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. Oh, praise God for His saving grace. But you and I, we can look at it, we can see this, and we look and we see that here is the religious systems of the world. Where did they develop at? Well, we went back last week and we saw they developed where? In Babylon. We saw that they developed there. And what did God have to do? He had to confound their languages to break it up because they were trying to build their way to God. It was through their works. It's very evident as you study back there in Genesis, chapter 11. And we find that is basis for the religions of the world. And so we're looking at this religious system that has pervaded ever since. By the way, when those people were scattered throughout the world, they were in false religions. Could that be why these false religions are so similar all around the world? They took some ideas of it. They evolved a little bit in this place and that way, in that place. And so we looked at and we saw their religious Babylon. As we come to chapter 18, I believe this is political and economic Babylon. Religious Babylon has been thrown off. She's been like the wild bronc, has thrown off her rider, and now she is free to pursue without restraint from any religious type of thing, that which is economic. By the way, isn't that what's on everybody's mind in America? I remember so clearly, back in the 80s, I think it was Ronald Reagan that said, it's the economy, stupid. That's what it's all about. And so often we think that's what government's all about. By the way, government's about, in the Word of God, about protection. It's not about economy. Governments, to have economy, it would take care of itself. Just say amen, we'll go on. But we look at here this tremendous city now that I believe is going to be rebuilt. We're going to have a man come on the scene. We can call him the Antichrist. We call him the Beast, as he's seen here in from about chapter 14 on. And I believe that wherever he's actually from, that he's going to go to the center of Europe and Asia, which is right there in the land of Shinar. I'm going to quote a verse here in a moment for you. In Babylon, I believe the city is going to be rebuilt, and it's going to rise up once again. And we will see that. Not everybody agrees with that. You don't have to agree with me on that. When the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them and to be forever with the Lord, somewhere on the way up, and you have revealed to you that I'm right, and we'll say, ha, ha, ha. Well, I'm going to tell you this. There's going to be some people saying, ha, 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 to me too. Listen, this is from the book of Zechariah. Book of Zechariah. Zechariah, by the way, is one of the key books that we need to have some understanding of in order to understand the book of Revelation. In the book of Daniel are very, very closely connected. They're like a rope that is twirled into those three, what do we call those? Cords, whatever. Listen to this. Chapter number 5, verse number 9. He says, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and there came out two women." That's interesting. "And the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephod between the earth and the heaven." Two women. And they lift up this ephod, which was basically a piece of money. Okay? "Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephod? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar." That's Babylon. "And it shall be established and set there upon her own base." We look today, and economies are based, oh, we think in America, but really, who controls it? I mean, stop and think about it. Is not the Middle East really at the center of things? By the way, you got any dollars in your pocket? Take it out. Got any dollars? Got one? Somebody said, "No, preacher, would you give me one?" Ask Greg, he's got plenty. If you don't have one, look at your neighbors. I want you to look at some. What is this thing? Look at the face of George Washington. Maybe you didn't have a dollar and you got a 20. Some of you are sitting there with $100 bills in your pocket. I forgot, this is a Baptist church. What are the words right on the top of that? No. Federal Reserve what? How many remember what it used to say? Silver certificate. Huh? You got one at home? Do you know what that means? What that meant was setting in Fort Knox or somewhere in the United States with silver to back up that coin. Okay? Do you know what Federal Reserve note means? Somebody says it means it's made up. That's basically what it is. It has absolutely no backing. It's paper. The only way our economy works is our faith and belief that it will still be here tomorrow. Now, does that sound scary? Yeah. And it could collapse very easy. People have been predicting for years, and their predictions probably will come true one of these days. What are economies really? Where's the real basis of it? We're going to find from the book of Revelation, I believe the real basis of it is right here in Babylon. Where did all the rich people look to? What were they whining about when they saw that she fell? Why were they crying? Because that was the center of the financial world. You say, well, I thought it was New York City or Paris, France, or one of these other nations. I believe it will shift in that day. Okay? And this man who comes on the scene and all that transpires. Okay? I see that because it talks about there in Zechariah. They call it Babylon for a reason. Okay? I believe there's a reason that it's that. When Nebuchadnezzar saw his image, the image was all one, wasn't it? Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. That's interesting. Put that together, what we're saying. And we find that total image. We find later on that image collapses as a rock formed without hands comes and falls at his feet. By the way, did you happen to notice that as we read in this chapter? The mountain that goes into the ocean. And this total thing comes down. It is the political and the economic system of the world as it will collapse. We are more and more going to a one world economy, are we not? It's no longer just the United States. Matter of fact, our economy goes up and down on things that take place worldwide. Okay? The king of Saudi Arabia sneezes, stock market in New York might plunge 10 points or 100. It's weird. But we are becoming more and more. And so we find that there in that chapter, these two angels, women, by the way, which depict birth, and as mother of harlots, as we found back in the other, the F is showing that their idolatry is mammon, that which is the monies of this world, the economic system, the land of Shinar for Babylon. I personally believe that we're talking about a real city that is going to, by the way, it's not a dead city, but it will be. There's prophecies that talk about Babylon being judged and nobody ever living there again. It says the same thing as we closed out this chapter. Those prophecies have never been completely fulfilled. Matter of fact, in Jesus' day, there were Jews living in Babylon. We find the epistles in one place talking about them. There were Jews there. And there's a community there yet today. Saddam Hussein was trying to rebuild Babylon. And I believe that will continue one of these days. Now, what's interesting is this place is about to have the destruction come upon him. There are those who have been saved, evidently during the tribulation, and the Lord tells them to get out of there. Verse number 4. A voice from heaven, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. I'm a little bit amazed that they're there. But it also kind of tells me something else. We as God's people too often are sucked in by all the economic stuff of the world. By the materialism of the world. Do we not as God's people often look at other Christians and think they are successful because they have money? Money doesn't make us successful. True success, I believe, in the eyes of God, and what He rewards us for is faithfulness. Keeping at it. Doing what He wants us to do. But we're so often taken up with that. Notice verse number 3 again. All the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her, what? Delicacies. This looks like it is the material capital of the world. But make no mistake, that kind of lifestyle, that kind of thought, it is sin. Notice what it says. Her sins, in verse 5, have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. We need to think about that and understand that the pleasures of this world, God gives them fine, but they are not the goal. They're not the goal. Ought not be that which we are seeking after. To please Him ought to be our deal. Well, religious Babylon's thrown off perhaps about the middle of the tribulation. Christians are being sought out. Now the religious people are saying, said no to all of that. Who now is the God? Who now is worshipped? Somebody say Democrats. Who now is worshipped? Honestly, I thought I heard somebody say Democrats. Oh, Lord. Who's worshiped? He is the sole one now, isn't that right? And, I mean, having that opium lifestyle is what is clamored after. But what do we find takes place? In one day, it's knocked down. In verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Now you might look at that as a combination of days. But I'm just going to take it literally. Because when God does His judgment, it's generally pretty swift and pretty harsh. I mean, it happens quickly. And it all comes to a halt. James chapter 5, listen to these words. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. And all of us who want to live for stuff is going to find in that day it is worthless. It has absolutely no power at that time. And what do we find then? In the next several verses, we find all of these people now weeping and wailing. Did you notice also they stood afar off and looked at the city? Is that difficult today? We watch live pictures from that same area, bombers going in and blowing up buildings a few years ago, didn't we? Would we not be able to behold it? Or will the people then? I'm not planning on being here, by the way. And that is certainly understandable by today's standards. And then as we go and we read a little farther, we get down to about verse number 19. And 20, and we find that it changes the scene. And he's talking not about those who are weeping and wailing for, but now he's looking at those who've been redeemed through the ages. And he's basically saying to us, rejoice, for all those who tormented you, they are now getting their due. And rejoice because the Lord Jesus Christ is about to be exalted as never before. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for Your wonderful Word. Oh God, we look forward to the realization that every knee bowing before You. Lord, we hear Your name dragged through the dirt. Oh God, we hear the horrible thoughts and words of people as they talk about You today in very disrespectful terms. And Lord, it hurts to the core. And yet we rejoice today knowing that you one day will redeem the entire earth and all will know who you are. Bless and give us courage through it in Christ's name. Amen.